This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A big stash of foreign cash.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Hope you enjoyed our week in China. We're back to English only this morning, because my Chinese is terrible. But as always, China's making news. Today, the country said its foreign currency reserves skyrocketed last year, 34% to a record high $819 billion. That's a whole lot of ammunition for the U.S. and other countries. They've been begging China to let its currency appreciate. Chinese will have a tough time arguing with those numbers. Tomorrow in Beijing, a global conference on bird flu. The goal is to raise more than $1 billion to fight this thing in poorer countries. That doesn't include money for human vaccines. But drug companies have their hands out anyway. They want money, too. Helen Palmer reports from the health desk at WGBH.
Some drug companies say their next-generation vaccines deserve a slice of the $7 billion of federal cash dedicated to fight a flu pandemic. Acambis is one such company. One vaccine it's developing targets a protein common to all strains of flu. The company's Ashley Burkett says it will be cheap and easy to produce.
We basically engineer the bacteria to make our vaccine, and we can do this in large fermenters, and it's a very simple and scalable, efficient process.
But they need the cash for clinical trials to prove it works as well in people as in mice. Experimental vaccine maker PowderMed's clinical trials use a tiny snippet of flu DNA.
The human body turns that DNA into protein, which is in fact the vaccine, and immunizes people.
PowderMed's Clive Dix says they could have an experimental vaccine for bird flu available within 2 years. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
We'll find out later today what the Bring New Orleans Back Commission has in mind. That group's been working on a whole slew of ideas for rebuilding the city. Only a third of people who fled New Orleans after Katrina have returned. But major universities are reopening this week for the first time, and that should give business a boost. Here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Cafes, bars, clothing stores, movie houses, landlords, they've all been waiting for students to return, and this week they're back. Thousands are in class at Tulane, Xavier, Dillard, and Loyola universities. Tulane economics professor John Edwards says the homecoming is good for city businesses and good for him.
One thing it's going to mean is that I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage. I'm going to be able to pay my doctor's bills. I'm going to be able to go to the supermarket. So there's going to be a rollover effect of having this money come in from the outside.
While total enrollment is down, Tulane officials say they're thrilled that 88% of students will return for the spring session. Most freshmen fled Katrina only a few hours into their first semester. Now it's time to move in all over again. The school's calling it orientation deja vu. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Friday the 13th was a flat day for Wall Street. Dow closed up or down 2 points to 10,959. The S&P 500 index climbed a point to 1287. The NASDAQ was up a third of a point to 2317. The U.S. markets are closed today. Gold opened in London at a whopping $557 an ounce, and the price of crude is up 19 cents to $62.45. This is Marketplace. The Golden Globe Awards are tonight. To the untrained eye, it appears big-budget films got spurned in favor of independence. But look closer and you'll find this. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
Big studios are getting in on the Indie Act. Brokeback Mountain was released by Focus Films. That's owned by media mammoth NBC Universal. Sony Picture Classics released Capote. You can probably guess the parent company there.
It's developed to a fever pitch in recent years.
Daily Variety's Michael Spire says the big studios are rushing into indie, but films like Capote and Brokeback Mountain don't have the mass appeal of a King Kong, even if they do win awards. So what's the motivation?
They're in the movie business. They want to make a lot of money on the popcorn stuff, but they also know that people like personal dramas. Some of them sustain for a very long time.
Spire says for indie movies, picking up an award or two can translate into long theater runs and huge profits from the now all-important DVD sales. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Gather.com, where you can read what other listeners are saying and thinking about today's business news. You can share your perspective online at GATHER.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. So far this year, two huge companies have decided to break off into smaller pieces. First, it was Viacom splitting in two. Then Friday, Tyco said it's going to become three firms. Many think 2006 could also be a record year for mergers. All this is money in the bank for investment bankers.
First, they pay you to shack them up. Then they pay you to break them up. And it doesn't matter because it's all fees and it's all business.
What exactly do these guys and gals get paid for? What is the service that they're providing?
All right, these people get paid to advise companies on buying things. They also get paid on advising them to selling things. It's a wonderful system. There are advisory fees, and sometimes they just advise. Sometimes they create the deals. And the great thing is, if you can finally get into the upper echelons of this business, you have a perpetual annuity because you could take a company like Tyco, which announced, I believe, on Friday that it's splitting into three pieces. And for the 10 previous years, Tyco bought and bought and bought things and paid very large fees to buy. And you can be sure when all the dust settles, splitting Tyco into three pieces will produce tens of millions of dollars of advice fees to the investment bankers. And then when the three pieces go out and start buying things, they'll get even more fees for selling things to the new pieces.
How much money are we talking here? How much are the fees for a typical big deal?
Well, it varies. But what I've done is I got the two database companies, one is called DealLogic and the other is called Thomson Securities, to do estimates for me of the last 10 years of advice fees that two of the big splitters have paid, Tyco and Viacom, which split itself into two pieces the first of the year. And the number's a little murky, but it looks to me like they paid at least $500 million total fees combined for advisory services on buying things in the past decade. Yeah, which is not a bad living.
Do investment bankers, are they on the lookout for companies that they can hawk, or are they just standing pat and the companies are just coming to them?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, some of it is you have longstanding relationships with companies, and when something happens, they come to you. Other times, you're out there trying to find deals or get your way into existing transactions, and you go to the company, it's just all sort of one big gestalt where they're all in there together, and it's a big sociological thing.
Alan Sloan, of course, is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
American Public Media.
You can see it at every train.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.